Federal News Radio's DOD reporter Jared Serbu going inside the reporter's notebook. And the Defense Department, Jared, over the years has made the case on many occasions that they are ready for another round of base realignment and closure. You're hearing from another organization that's not necessarily saying they want it or they don't, but they do have advice for the Department of Defense and for Congress. Jared, thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, you bet, Francis. And we're talking about the Association of Defense Communities here, which is really an alliance of state and local governmental elected officials that you know, operate in and around the communities that have big military presences around them. And you would think that that would be one of the natural constituencies that would be allied with Congress in their consistent opposition to another BRAC round. But it's really turning out not to be the case. We got into this a little bit in a recent special report that we did on what's next with BRAC, but we haven't seen any solid data until now. The association surveyed its membership, asking them basically, you know, what is worse for you? The status quo that we have now with basically this constant hand-wringing and uncertainty about when or if there's going to be another BRAC, or to just do another BRAC? 91% of their members said that they would prefer to just go ahead and do BRAC. 8.6% said that they prefer the status quo, which was a really shocking statistic to me. It's probably one of the reasons that ADC itself has sort of begun to stake out a position on this. Their president, Tim Ford, wrote an op-ed in Roll Call a couple weeks ago basically saying that the status quo that his members are so opposed to is sort of death by a thousand cuts, because, as you kind of allude to, they may not be that enthusiastic about another BRAC, but they're seeing the real-world results of what's happening out there on the ground with their bases, which is that we are not closing any bases, but the military is definitely having a decreased presence on its installations all across the country. So even though the overall real estate footprint isn't shrinking, their utilization is, and that's bad for the communities that rely on them. So I think that's one reason they'd kind of like to move ahead with it.
Yeah, the title of this piece in the notebook, I think, is apropos, and it's Military Communities on BRAC. Let's get on with it. It strikes me that it's to their benefit to know what's going to happen and make it happen, whether it's going to be to their benefit or detriment. At least one way or the other, they'd be able to deal with it and move on.
Yeah, and one of the things I think that they might like about the BRAC process is that it is at least an open process with public hearings, where they would have the opportunity to at least make their case that their base should not be on the chopping block, or if it is on the chopping block, here are the economic impacts that that's going to have for us, and here are the sort of remedies that would need to be put in place, as opposed to really the process that's going on right now, which is all basically unilateral on DOD's part in terms of, you know, removing units from a certain base and putting them somewhere else to try and juggle its real estate the best it can. One of the other interesting pieces of the survey, Francis, is that 86% of the members said that they thought Congress would actually finally give the thumbs up to another BRAC within the next 5 years, which was really surprising to me. I think they're much more optimistic than anybody else who's working on this. One of the people who is not extremely enthusiastic, at least by the sound of his voice, is John Conger, the acting Assistant Secretary for Energy, Installations and Environment, who's been fighting this battle on behalf of DOD for the past several years. He basically says that this is sort of like a game of whack-a-mole when it comes to trying to persuade Congress to do another BRAC, because Congress will come forward with an argument for why it's unwise or unacceptable to do another BRAC. DOD responds to it. They move on to the next argument. So I think at this point, he is less optimistic than the ADC members are about getting another BRAC.
It is hard to predict what Congress will do. It is obviously difficult. And look, I'm looking at authorizations bills in the House and the Senate that both say nothing in this bill should be construed to support a BRAC round. Okay, that's a pretty clear signal. We're not going to make this easy, right? But we continue to try and make the case that this makes business sense. At some level, Congress has got to take responsibility for the fact that it's created this situation if it doesn't want to give us a BRAC round. We did what we could. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to continue to answer questions. We're going to continue to be responsive to concerns. And if they raise other problems, we want to try and solve them. We want to do this together, right? I mean, we've come to a conclusion that we think makes sense. Congress has to decide it makes sense, too. My opinion is that Congress will probably not go along with the BRAC round until they conclude the alternative is worse.
Again, John Conger, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Installations. And as we said at the top, Francis, the members of the Association of Defense Communities has come to that conclusion that the status quo is worse. And there is one other thing worth mentioning. If you're looking for another BRAC and you're looking for reasons to be optimistic, there was a slight crack in the armor in terms of Congress in this year's House version of the National Defense Authorization Act. In past years, as we've talked about, they've said, A, you're not allowed to do another BRAC, and B, you're not even allowed to study it. In this year's authorization bill, they say you still can't do another BRAC, but we want you to go and study and come up with a comprehensive inventory of all your real estate, of all your bases, match that up against your missions, so we can start to look at where the mismatches are. So that might be a setup for, as these members seem to think, another BRAC round sometime in the next 5 years.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu going inside the DoD reporter's notebook, and that's up on federalnewsradio.com right now. You also write about the newest cyber organization at the Defense Department branching out from Fort Meade, Joint Forces Headquarters DoD Information Networks. How do they hope to make this functional and contributory to the mission of the Defense Department rather than just another layer of command, Jared?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but it's playing out rather quickly. For such a young organization, they really are hitting the ground running. They first just reached initial operating capability back in January, and within the next few weeks, they're going to start standing up what they call provisional commands in U.S. European Command, in U.S. Pacific Command, and U.S. Central Command. They're basically going to be attached to the combatant commanders in each of those three areas, A, to try and supplement the cyber defense capabilities that each of those COCOMs all have on their own, but also to tie it back into a more sensible and coherent management structure in terms of defending DoD networks from a common baseline. So those provisional commands will be connected back to the main headquarters of Joint Force Headquarters, Doden. That command, in turn, just to take people back a few steps, was created out of the notion that was first raised maybe a year and a half ago by Mike Rogers, the commander of Cyber Command, who said that he thought that the Defense Information Systems Agency should have more of an active and day-to-day role in the management and defense of DoD's networks writ large, because they manage so many of those networks and they really had very little authority or control outside of the immediate networks that they directly owned and operated. So that was kind of the origin of this. And while DISA is not sort of the parent organization in any way of Joint Force Headquarters Doden, it is the director of DISA is dual-hatted as this Joint Force Headquarters commander, and then the authorities kind of come directly from Cyber Command. So their main mission is going to be to take over a lot of the day-to-day defensive functions that Cyber Command has been focused on up until now, and let the folks at Cyber Command kind of think and operate more at the strategic level.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, and Eric Fanning knows just about every inch of the physical plant of the Department of Defense. You allude to a potential job for him in the future Washington Headquarters Service. Where has Secretary Carter put Eric Fanning now, Jared?
He is going to be the Undersecretary of the Army. And yeah, I'm not sure that he's exactly crawled around all the heating ducts in the building, but he's certainly been around most of the corridors. He had previously served as a Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy. He was then the Acting Secretary of the Air Force. And actually, he was the Undersecretary of the Air Force and then the Acting Secretary of the Air Force for a while there was no Air Force Secretary, just prior to Deborah Lee James being nominated and confirmed. So now he's going to be the Undersecretary of the Army, at least in an acting capacity. We have not seen any formal nomination from the White House, but we have not seen a lot of new nominations for civilian jobs from the White House lately, frankly. I think they're expecting to have some trouble, at least in the short term, getting their civilian nominees confirmed. There has been some speculation that Fanning is being groomed to take over eventually as the Army Secretary when John McHugh leaves in November. McHugh has been with the Obama administration since it first came into office, really one of the only political appointees in DoD to have stuck around that long. He's decided it's time to go, but he wants to leave a few months buffer there in order to allow for an orderly transition. We have no idea if that's the idea here in terms of why Fanning is being named now and only in an acting capacity, but that is one possibility. But we do also know that his previous job, which was as the Chief of Staff to Defense Secretary Ashton Carter, has already been filled, so it doesn't look like he's going back there. So the new Chief of Staff to Carter is going to be Eric Rosenbach. People will recognize his name as having been the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Cyber Policy. He's really done a lot of work over the past several years in terms of getting DOD's first ever cyber strategies in place and down on paper and up and operational.
It's a terrific resume that he has and a wonderful set of credentials. The question, though, having been Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy, Acting Secretary of the Air Force, worked in OSD, and now the Undersecretary of the Army, I guess the question that people at West Point and Annapolis and Colorado Springs want to know is who he roots for at football games.
That's right. He's kind of got an obligation at this point. Just depends on what uniform you're wearing, so to speak, at a given time. So I think he's going to have to say, go Army.